Well, no bumper music. I'll try another one. How about that? The old one. There you go. Oh, got a little hesitation there. Well, we're going to have to get Jeff to check that out. All right, well, this is Chip Shots. I'm Teddy Sliman, sitting in the air chair here. My compadre and co-host, Ralph Boxcar Bergeron, will be with me shortly. Trying to still figure out this mess. Anyway, what a beautiful day out there. Wow. Golfing weather for sure. Beautiful weather, low humidity, not a cloud in the sky, and nice temperatures for sure. Hope you played golf today. I didn't. But that's all right. Monday's my day for work. So here I am, sitting in the air chair at Kane Radio. Before we talk a little golf, let's thank our sponsors. Our title sponsors, golfballs.com, been with us for quite some time. We appreciate their sponsorship. Located on Olive Boulevard in the shopping center there, next to Harbor Freight Tools, golfballs.com has everything you want in golf. I promise you that. You can go into their showroom there, and just about anything you want is present there in their merchandise. And, of course, you can pick out the latest and greatest of their equipment from all the high top-end companies and get into their simulator and try out their demonstrator golf clubs and see which ones you like. It's springtime. Why not spring for a new set of clubs from golfballs.com on a boulevard, Lafayette. Of course, our local golf clubs, we appreciate their sponsorship. And as I always say, without them, we would have no local golf news, right? So let's thank St. Mary's, Eagle Ridge, Cane Row, Sugar Oaks, Bellevue, and Atchafalaya, all of those local golf courses in our radius, our listening area. And we're going to start out with St. Mary's. They had their championship tournament a couple of weeks ago and went in the first flight was Abram Hartley. Second place went to Taylor Ricardo. And then in the first flight, Jim Williams, first place. Second place, Kevin Adams. That's all at St. Mary's. Then we moved down to Bellevue, their sister course. Both of those are nine-hole golf courses, and only two left, a few left in the United States of America. I think there's 700 nine-hole courses that are still in existence in the United States. And par three courses is another thing that is getting a little attention because we know that a couple of weeks ago at Augusta National, they have the on Wednesday, they have the par three tournament. So par three courses, the little one at Augusta National spurs on some interest in par three courses. So nine-hole courses and par three courses are still prevalent in the United States of America. So down at Bellevue, they had that third annual Lydia Society Cancer Tournament. Lydia Cancer Tournament. It was their third annual. First flight, first place was Doug Robichaux, Mickey Michel, and Chase Arbonneau. And then in the second flight, first place went to Bill McNett, Keith Domain, and Kevin Duvall. Then also at Bellevue, they had their Sunday Shamble results. Shamble seemed to be getting a lot of interest around our area. It's a more fun way or an additional fun way of playing golf in a scramble-type atmosphere. Of course, we all know that four-person scrambles are not very fair, let's put it that way, because a lot of mischief can go on with the teams that aren't very honest. So three-man scrambles are picking up in most of these tournaments, and then the shambles are as well. So first place went to Dean Dache, Cody James, and Scott Goulart. They shot minus one. Second place, Ty Burdett, Josh Thomas, and Pat Hebert. Then closest to the hole, Ty finally beat Brandon, his son, out. He was 6 feet, 6 inches from the hole, and Brandon was 7 feet, 1 inch. So, nice going, Papa. That's the way to beat the old boy. Also at Bellevue this past Sunday, April 21st, they had their scramble. And first place went to Darryl Johnson, Robbie Dardon, and Reggie Broussard. Then they started up on Thursdays. They did Thursday, April the 18th, their Twilight Shootouts. And it's actually a two-man scramble, but it's twilight time, so nine holes, right? First place, Mickey Michel, Mike Zerlot, minus one. Second place, Brandon Burdett and Timmy Womack were even par. Then down at Eagle Ridge, we had our Acadiana Pro-Am, partly 1 week and partly another week, as bad weather interfered with play on the first week of play. But nonetheless, we got 121 players, thanks to Doug Beard, running our Pro-Am and doing a marvelous job. First place went to Ronnie Broussard, Kevin Ledford, James Morse, and Carl Broussard, plus 15, almost a perfect score. Second place, Mark Hooks, Linda Savoy, Paul Colson, and Ian Roskowski at plus 12. Third place, Dylan Landry, Dan Hidalgo, Paul Walters, and Patrick Darby, plus nine. On the individual side, first place, A player, Jason Smith. B player, which is actually A player, Garrett Terriel is definitely an A player. They just had him kind of backwards on the team side. But Garrett Terriel shot four under par 67, so the low player in the whole entire field. C player, Pat Ainsley. D player, Michael Michel. The next Pro-Am is going to be at Sugar Oak sometime in May. Doug will let us know exactly when all that's going to happen. And speaking of Sugar Oaks, they still are sponsoring or supporting or promoting their weekly specials. One of the only courses open on Mondays. So Mondays and Tuesdays, 9 or 18 holes, $22. Good price. You get a cart with that as well. So it's all like almost no green fee. Wednesday all-day special, $31, and this is the one I like the best because you can play all you want at Sugar Oaks for $31, as many holes as you want, and then that twilight scramble comes up around 5 o'clock, 5:30, so you can join in on that as well. Got to play there Saturday with my friends, and wow, they were really busy. I was pleasantly surprised because we tee off a little early, but... a lot of players like to play early on the weekends. That way, afternoon is free. So coming up at Sugar Oaks this Saturday, April 27th, is going to be the Panda Scramble. That's for St. Edward School, raising funds for them. It's what we call a divorce scramble. And the reason it got that name is because it's two males and two females on one team, four-person team. The males... they can only hit the full shots. They can't putt. The females have to putt, and they can't hit the full shots. So it could cause a little friction, if you will, between the men and the women. Nonetheless, it's a lot of fun. $100 per couple, nine holes, cart, and sweet memories. And all this goes to Panda Palooza sponsorship. And then continuing with the divorce scramble theme the next day, Sunday, the 28th, another divorce tournament, this time for the members over at Sugar Oaks. And they raise funds for St. Jude's Children's Hospital, which is a great sponsorship there. And so, like I said, Sunday, tee off at 12 noon. Entry fee is $75 and includes your cart. $60 of that goes to St. Jude's Hospital, thanks to Mr. Gil Primo, the owner and operator, along with Kylie, his daughter, and that's a big deal there. That's a good chunk of the entry fee going to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Then Friday, the 26th, they're going to have a Calcutta at 6 o'clock, so that'll be a lot of fun, too. And food will be served. I'm not sure. They don't say what kind of food, but if Gil's cooking, it's going to be good. Then also at Sugar Oaks, they got the 4-H Golf Tournament coming up, which raises funds for our Area 4-H for H'ers. It's going to be Friday, May 3rd, four-person scramble, 8 o'clock shotgun start. Also at Sugar Oaks, this past Friday, They had a shamble, another popular thing, a shamble, right? We talked about it. So on the front back in 18, first place on the front, or winning the front, rather, was Tam Rosemond, Paul Ladouceur, Robert Burton, and Glenn Guidry. They were plus one. Then winning the back in the 18, Pat Ainsley, Glenn Dupuy, Mickey Melancon, and Kevin Ledford, even par. Then Sunday on the 14th, there was a shootout. That's where you play your own ball. In the upper flight, the A flight, Marc Ami plus five was first. Paul Olivier plus four was second. And Tam Rosemond plus four was third. In the B flight, Glenn Dupuy first place plus 10. Nice score there. Second place, Carl Broussard plus five. Third place, John Provost plus four. All that at Sugar Oaks. And then the Gator Golf Club, which stems out of Sugar Oaks. That last event was played at Mallet Cove in Lake Charles. It's a new golf course, and it's beautiful. It's a links-style golf course with absolutely no trees on it. And it requires precision play. It's not just a bomber's course. I like it a lot. So in the upper flight, Michael Bourque was plus four and one. In the second flight, Seneca Bouton plus three and was the winner there. Their next tournament at a Chaffala golf course. So we'll see if Boyd gets me the results of that tournament, and we'll keep talking about the Gator Golf Club. Down at Cane Row, hear their specials. They got a new set of specials for non-members. Their Twilight Tuesday through Sunday after 3 p.m., $32. Their senior rate for 60 years plus, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, also $32. If you want to be a member, now's the time. It's springtime, spring 4th. And join the golf club for only $142 a month. You get a lot of perks, 20% off of their soft goods, 10% off of their hard goods. That's all the time. And I'm telling you, that's one of the best stock golf shops in our area. They also book your tee time 1 week in advance if you're a member, which is a big blessing there because those tee times are important. As busy as it gets during the spring, they're running over 100 rounds per day over there at Cane Row. So to book your tee time, you get to play the time you want and finish when you want, and that's important. They also chart your handicap according to the Louisiana Golf Association's handicap system, and the MGA waives your dues for the year, and they got some MGA events coming up, which I'll announce in a minute. Raymond Bernard is the president of their MGA. And Cane Row is also licensed to sell UL Raging Cajun logoed merchandise. So check it out. They may be getting some in stock soon. And here's their specials on their merchandise. Buy one, get one free. Johnny O polos and FootJoy polos. All their golf shoes, 40% off. Gloves, 20% off. FootJoy pants, 30% off. And all hats, caps, and visors, only $15. They got a good selection. My grandson, Drew, had a gift card and was perusing around in there the other day and wanted to get some hats, so I think he used his gift card for that. Then most recently, they had the big Jimmy Picard Memorial Golf Tournament. Tremendous turnout for that. And I'll just announce the winners. Fifth flight, Jack Spinney and Darren Doulon. Fourth flight, Brad Claus, Chris Thibonot. Third flight, William Raygard and Taylor Tibbs, or rather Sailor Tibbs. Second flight, Drake Hoffpower, Brooks Lachelet. First flight winner, Toby Lomond and CeCe Morrison. And then championship flight winners, nice players here, David Wiggins and Jacob Hammer. Congratulations to those guys. And as I said, the MGA is coming up with a schedule of tournaments. Their next event is going to be a Stableford tournament, which is like we run the Pro-Am, a point for bogey, 2 points for par, 3 points for birdie. That's going to be June 15th. But coming up pretty soon, in fact, this Friday, Iberia Medical Center Foundation fundraising tournament. It's their 19th annual. going to be played out at Cane Row. Three-person scramble. It's probably filled up, but you can call the golf shop there at 367-0863 and see if there's any spaces left. I know they serve awesome food, so if you're not a golfer, you can go mill around there and eat some of that nice food they have on the golf course. Also coming up at Cane Row is the 11th Annual Troop 1 Affiliate Louisiana State Troopers Golf Tournament, and that's going to be Friday, May 3rd, 8 o'clock shotgun start. And let's see, it's a three-person scramble as well. Like I said earlier, three-person scrambles are a lot fairer. Then the Bo Dewey District Attorney Golf Tournament's coming up Monday, May 13th at Cane Row. It's a four-person scramble and $125 per person, $500 per team. And they serve pretty good food out during that day. They have 8 o'clock and 1 o'clock shotgun starts, so plenty of room there. Then the Live Like Liam McDuff Golf Tournament has expanded this year. It's now three tournaments in 2 days, and it's a great thing. It's going to be May 17th and 18th. On Friday, May 17th, it's a two-person scramble. Saturday, May 18th, is a three-man scramble. And then Saturday afternoon at 1:30, four-person scramble. A lot of fun. Food and beverages are galore out there. Entertainment, silent auctions, all over the place. And I tell you what, I think we're going to get Scotty Scheffler's autograph on either a hat or something, a cap, something, and auction it off. Scotty Scheffler, of course. Boxcore and I will be talking about him ad nauseum because he just won the Heritage Classic for his second victory in a row. But the Liam McDuff Tournament, raffles, Kid Zone as well, silent auction music, and they're even going to have a barbecue cook-off. So that's a fun thing, kind of like the gumbo cook-off. And then the Louisiana Golf Association is going to have a tournament out at Cane Row. It's called Play Day, May 23rd. It's a two-person scramble, and anyone can play. It's $75 if you're not a Louisiana Golf Association member, $95 if you are. And they're going to have a crawfish ball for all players, and it's free with your entry fee. And they're also going to give away a tee gift. So it looks like a big tournament there coming up at Cane Row with the Louisiana Golf Association. Also at Cane Row, Iberia Chamber of Commerce is going to have their inaugural golf tournament Friday, June the 7th out at Cane Row. It's going to be a 8 o'clock shotgun start, registration from 6:30 to 7:30, four-person scramble, $150 per player. And, of course, that raises funds for the Iberia Chamber of Commerce. And then the Lafayette Senior Men's Golf Association, thanks to Lawson Mooley for getting me this information on his golf association. Tuesday, the second Tuesday of the month, is their out-of-town tournament, and it was last played at Atchafalaya Golf in Patterson. John Pierce was a winner. Second place, Johnny Clavel. Third place, Bill Ball. And fourth place, Brent Galata. And then their club tournament held at Muni, Hebert Municipal, right there in Lafayette. And the format for this was individual points. First place went to Greg Grotereau, Mike Vanager. Second place tied Mike Vanager and Joey Benoit, plus one. Let me turn on my compadre's mic. All aboard?
Yes.
He's here.
I'm here. You're going to have to start saving me a spot to park, though. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, you could have fit right in there in front of that guy.
I mean, there was none the whole length down Main Street. I had to park in Woodley Plaza.
Oh, poor Boxcar.
No, I mean, this is, you know.
If I had a violin, I'd be playing it for you.
We should have a reserved parking space for employees in front of Kane Radio.
Okay, I'll take that up with the mayor.
I'm going to die on that hill.
See how well that goes. All right, high school golf today. Let's talk about Thursday, April the 11th. We'll start out with that. The K-90 Area Championship is a culmination of all the nine-hole matches. I think they had seven or eight of them during the course of the year. And they put them all together and played at La Vauchaine. And thanks to my grandson, he's the champion for this year with a 68 3 under par. Then Wednesday, April 17th, they had their district championship at Frosh Park in Sulphur. And Lafayette and Barb tied at 3:08, and they had a playoff. And Drew was selected to be the player representing Lafayette. and he made a 20-foot putt on the first playoff hole. And so Lafayette High is the district champs for this year. And Drew finished second with an even par 71 on the individual side. And today, Monday, regional qualifying for state, Division I, Region I, at Oak Wing Golf Course in Alexandria. And Lafayette qualified. First place went to Bird. Second place, Benton. And third place, Lafayette, but they advanced. Drew shot a 2-under par 70 and finished tied for fourth with Carson Toms. It's David Toms' son. And finished in first place was James Hostclaw, probably the number one player in the state. He shot a 5-under par 67. So next up is state, which will be at the Wetlands on the 29th and 30th. Next week's Monday and Tuesday out at the Wetlands. And the Raging Cajuns are currently playing in the Sun Belt Conference Championship at Annandale Golf Course in Madison, Mississippi, a suburb of Jackson. And they are currently, after the first round, they play a round today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, medal play. And they tied for fifth, which is really respectable considering how they have been playing. Leading the tournament at 288 is Arkansas State. That's even par. Plus 13 is Louisiana, Southern Miss, and Georgia Southern. And like I said, two more rounds to go. There's 14 teams in the Sun Belt Conference. The low eight advanced to match play. And, of course, we know last year the Raging Cajuns won that. So
Once you get to match play, it's a
different game.
It's a clean slate, you know.
That's
so
right.
You don't have to make up all those strokes anymore. You just have to make sure you get there.
Yeah,
you
just
know?
Stay in that top eight.
Who was the top dog all year in the conference? Was it Arkansas State or
that I couldn't answer. I really don't know. I was kind of so disappointed with the way the Cajuns were performing that I didn't pay much attention to that.
I was just wondering if there were any surprise results after the first day.
I don't know, but today there were only three players under par.
Yeah.
And Eli Artigo and Milan Pottinger, both for the Cajuns, shot even par. They tied for fourth. So that's pretty good performance by them. The course must have been playing really hard, or they had it set up really hard because the day was pretty nice, really.
Where is it at again?
At Annandale, Jack Nicklaus built golf course up north of Jackson in Madison, Mississippi.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful golf course. But
they could have been getting some of those wins.
It
died down here late, but even at the RBC, the last few holes today, when they finished, it was pretty windy.
Yeah.
So I think, that's kind of always the great equalizer in golf. Players don't really mind a little rain or stuff like that. But man, when the wind and it's a lot of times it's hard to judge it, especially when these kids don't have a professional caddy on their back to kind of walk them through the process. And
yeah, that makes it tough.
Yeah, but good congratulations. I mean, not congratulations, but good showing for the Cajuns after round one. And
Start
to give them a little confidence boost, hopefully.
Other scores for the Cajuns was Burke Alford had a 78, and then Jake Milan and Dylan Keeling, 79. So if those three guys can improve, who knows, they might slip in there and continue to finish in the top eight, and that would be nice. And also with UL, they have in their Hot and Spicy Golf Tournament. It used to be played out at Cane Row.
Yep.
Now it's being played at Oakbourne on Tuesday, May 7th. And it's pretty steep, $250 per player. And speaking of the Cajuns...
That's the spicy part.
Yeah, right. So the Gulf State Section PGA, which Greg Saunier, a former UL Raging Cajun player, is assistant pro at Lake Charles. He's the leading in the Rolex Player of the Year honors. So good luck to him the rest of the spring and summer, and see if he can win that award again. That's it, box score, unless you have anything.
No, I don't have any local stuff for sure. But congratulations to Drew on making that putt, man.
He was pretty exciting, and his teammate Chris Kane's mama got it on film. So
that
was kind of fun to watch.
So that's just how they decided it? I mean, just to
– They had
a putt-off.
No, it was a playoff.
Oh, okay.
They played the whole.
Okay, he just
but,
made it.
They only played
okay.
one player.
I got you.
Like, in college, it's different.
Yeah.
Like, last year, UL's team had to go into a playoff with another team. I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
And each player had, like, the fifth player played against the other fifth player.
Oh, wow.
And they had a playoff in that fashion. So that makes it a little
more difficult. Yeah, that's pretty unusual.
But in high school, they just picked one player, and they both went head up and drew him in a nice putt. So good for him.
Yeah, good deal, man.
And I'm, by the way, speaking of Drew, he did. I played with him Friday out at Cane Row. They had the big Evangeline football at Oakbourne, and he couldn't play. So he came practice and played with us in our little morning group with mm-hmm. Duffy and them. And when we got to number four, yes, it's now number 13, but he said, "Pops, isn't that the hole box score got me over the water on?"
I have made an indelible imprint in this kid's, you know, golfing career, man.
I think you did. You know? Because we had to wait, and on that tee box, it's been so long since you played there, you probably can't.
Yeah.
But they got a graveyard there now. And we were trying to figure out, they were telling Drew where the green was on the old number four for that nine or whatever, and he said, "Yeah, I remember that old box score got me over the water."
Oh, man.
And man, box score is going to love to hear that.
Oh, yeah. It made my day, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, and well, we'll talk about that in the national news, but boy, to see that 15-year-old kid in the Corn
Ferry
Tour.
Kidding.
I mean, and they're getting better, younger and younger, man.
No, you're not kidding. All right. Stay tuned. We'll have some commercials and then box score, and I'll be back with the national news in a bit.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
Golfballs.com carries the latest selection of golf balls, clubs, and gear from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, and Callaway. Get custom fit in our state-of-the-art golf simulator or shop our selection of high-quality apparel from Vineyard Vine, Southern Tide, and Bad Birdie. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
Kane's Fishing and Hunting Show, Friday morning at 7 on the all-new Kane 107.5, hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Well, the bumper music's still sick. Let me try another one. How about the bagpipes? Nope, they're not working either. Wow.
Andy Griffith's theme song worked on that commercial, on the fishing
remember
commercial.
Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
But look, it's hesitating.
Oh, that the old one? Yeah.
The old one, yeah.
What? Something's happening.
Something's happening. So we're going to just shut it down.
No bumper music. Oh, well.
Oh, well. So here we are live. Yep. Voices are live. Anyway, Boxcore and Teddy right back with you. Talking about the national golf news, and it's pretty exciting if you're a golf fan nowadays, as Scotty Scheffler won the RBC Heritage Classic that finished this morning, box score, right?
Yeah, I watched
a little bit of it myself.
I think four holes that he had to finish, you know. Some players had finished yesterday. But, they had a really unexpected rainstorm come through. And I was watching the tournament at the time, and the chief PGA Tour official comes on, and the meteorologist, "Oh, this will blow over in about 20 minutes, you know."
That was yesterday?
Yeah. The only reason we're really suspending play is not because of the rain. You know, course is still playable, but it's because of the lightning in the area. And what I'm telling you, they had a torrential downpour. And they did get to play a few holes after, like one or two, some of those guys. But I had to go back out this morning. But, I was – actually, I was surprised to see that he played, you know, because, I mean, the storyline last week was, you know, oh, you know, the wife could be going into labor anytime, you know. And then after the Masters victory, we see pictures of him celebrating at a dive bar in Dallas, and supposedly his wife went with him. So I think all those stories about her due date were greatly exaggerated at the Masters. I don't think they've actually ever said when her due date is, you know, exactly. It just says everything I read is like she's 8+ months pregnant. Well, okay, but that's good. You know, that's a big difference between being due that week, you know. So a little surprised to see him in the field, but, man.
He must be a robot to be, I mean, mentally and physically exhausted after winning the Masters is – it would weigh on any human being, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
and most guys that played in the Masters, you're in Georgia, and now you're playing in Hilton Head, South Carolina, so you just stay right there on the East Coast. You don't fly back to Dallas, go to, you know, at a dive bar, you know, and then fly back to, you know. That's what makes it kind of incredible is you know, what he's doing in between these tournaments, too.
He's – and look, he played the week before the Masters in Houston, you know, if it wouldn't have been for a missed 6-foot putt or whatever it was on the last hole, he would have been in a playoff. He might have won that tournament.
He'd be right up there with, he 3-putted from 5 feet in that tournament on one hole.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd be right there with Nelly Korda with her little win streak, you know.
We're going to talk about her after we get done with Scotty as well.
Yeah, what's incredible is that, you know, it took him a little while I don't have all the stats. I hope you have a lot of
them. I got a few.
Yeah, but from his first win on the PGA Tour to his 10th, he's only needed 50 starts.
Now, 51 starts.
That's a 20%, winning percentage. That's
Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus.
Absolutely, you know.
Because I think that's right on it, their winning percentage. For all tournaments.
Yeah, yeah, but, I mean, that's just in, you know. It really is getting kind of surreal, you know, because back in the day, the betting line was you want Tiger or you want the field, you know. And, I mean, a lot of times you think you got 143 other players that can beat that one player, but it turned out most of the time it wasn't happening that way. And now it's kind of getting to that same, territory with Scottie Scheffler. And he's doing it in convincing fashion in most of these wins. It's not flukes, you know. I mean, I don't think that he's necessarily on his, you know, Tiger used to say, you know, I want to have my C game. He graded himself. Scottie Scheffler doesn't do that.
No.
But I don't think he's on the top of his game. I don't think he's peaked yet. Now, his putting has gotten much better since he went to the mallet.
Right.
And that's a big difference. Yeah. The only stat I saw today that gives me a little bit pause as far as, you know, going forward, comparing, you know, his career, you know, what he might do trajectory-wise, is that Augusta National is the farthest north that he's won a golf tournament.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's tends to win in the south, you know, and the greens in the south tend to be a lot different than the greens in the north, you know. So just something to think about, you know, going forward. Man, I mean, you know, he was the first player since Bernhard Langer in 85 to win the Masters, and then win the following week, first since Woods in 2005 to win the week after any major victory. I mean, just, you know, just incredible. And now Ted Scott has earned, by all estimates, $1.8 million. Just in the last 30-something days, 42 days, which would put him 37th on the money list if he were playing, you know. I mean, just incredible stuff.
He'd been standing for that FedEx Cup.
Oh, my goodness.
You're right.
You know, he's got to be – and he's a very religious guy to begin with, but he's got to be thanking God every day that Bubba, you know.
He puts a podcast on – it's called The Sermon of the Week – I'm going to have to send it to you next time. I'm on that rotation because we all know that he's real friendly with a lot of people from Lafayette.
Right.
But you're right. But I think Scottie Scheffler is right there with him, you know, with his religious convictions and faith. So they're a heck of a team. I mean, they both hit bonanza when they got together. And, you know, set up their relationship, because it's more than just, you know, a player caddy. They're friends, you can tell that, and they will always will be, you know.
Yeah, and we saw just so many unreal caddy player splits this past mm-hmm. year. You know, just then Justin Thomas. I mean, the week before the Masters. You know, that was in, you know, kind of surreal. But you know, I used to kind of always say, well, you know, look, I mean, what does a caddy do? You know, that was my personal opinion. I mean, because I had the opinion these guys all played junior golf, played college golf without caddies. I mean, mm-hmm. they were, you know. They earned their PGA Tour cards without caddies. Mm-hmm. For the most part of the Corn Ferry Tour, if they went that route, their wives might have caddied for them, their girlfriends. I mean, but I guess when you get to that PGA Tour level, it just becomes a little bit, you know, different with the security. I think it's more – I think they're more like a psychological coach than they are, you know, anything else.
You know, you're probably spot on with that, because, yeah, they don't just shoot out yardages to them unless that's what – you know, a player wants. And they usually tell the caddies that if they're not a experienced caddy or have a relationship with them. But you're more on target there. They're more like a calming effect or a reassurance, or not just blurting out, yeah, you need to hit it 158 yards, you know, and or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the relationships there are intriguing. And I think they're very, very important to me, more so than a manager or a swing coach, or because to me it's like who taught Scotty Scheffler how to swing
right.
the way he does, you know?
Exactly.
Well, it's Randy Smith, and Randy Smith, obviously from Dallas, you know, Royal Oaks Golf Course in Dallas, didn't mess with his,
and
you know, antics.
Credit to him for not doing, you know. You know how many teachers would be tempted to say, "Oh, you can't do that with your foot. You know, you got to keep it at foot cemented, boy. You can't do that." You know.
Absolutely, right.
But he recognized the ball. I mean, at 6 years old, this kid was, you know, shooting 36, you know, or 38, I think it was. I saw in some of those tournaments. So, yeah, I mean, when you have a good thing, you don't want to mess with it.
Absolutely not.
But I really do believe that again, when you know, yeah, certain guys need more information than others, you know. But I think in Scotty Scheffler's case, see, I didn't know that about him until, you know, it's like he's kind of surfaced, I don't want to say out of nowhere, because he's been good for a couple of years now, but you didn't really know that much about his background and all that. But he had a reputation for being really hot-headed on a golf course, mm-hmm. you know, with a lot of temper. And Ted Scott has got to be the most calming influence as far as a caddy goes, you know. I mean, he's just so calm, and that's not the case with every caddy. I've seen a lot of heated exchanges between caddies and players, you know.
Tiger Woods' old caddy was hot-headed.
Oh, absolutely.
Steve Williams,
yeah. So,
you know, you know what's amazing? I mean, I love stats, right? So,
right.
I was listening to the Golf Channel this morning eating breakfast, and he had no bogeys until the last. He must have bogeyed either 17 or 18. I didn't watch that part, but for 50 something holes, he had a double bogey on
the third hole.
Yeah, the third
the tournament.
Hole.
Yeah,
and then no bogeys.
I know.
And then he went like 50 something holes without a score of higher than four on his scorecard. That's almost three rounds, 50 something holes. I mean,
and Teddy, what I'm telling you, his short game is incredible. You know, and again, we would always say, well, his putting might, because he was just. He was hitting so many greens in regulation. You know, he was leading the tour in proximity to the pin, so he had so many good birdie looks. And you kind of think all automatically, well, it's a tour player. It's 16 feet. He should make it. You know, when you really look at the stats, they don't make that many of them at that distance, okay?
Right.
But he was hitting like 16 greens in regulation per round. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think he's on his A game, because the last few tournaments, he's missed a lot of greens in regulation. But his chipping... I mean, he chips in two or three times a tournament for birdie, and from places where you would say, boy, he'd be lucky to get up and down for, you know, for par,
yeah.
and probably will bogey, and then he chips in for birdie, and that's where, to me, the one part of his game that's really incredible is his wedge game. You know,
you're right on, because when we finished playing Sunday, our group was in the pro clubhouse there, you know, drinking a beer. And we turned it on, or it was already on. And number two, as a par five, he chipped in for eagle. And
yeah.
I was like, God, this guy is unbelievable.
No, I know.
You know, I mean, it is unbelievable what he's doing. He has now, I think, 40 rounds. He's played this year around 40. I don't know the exact stat, but he has never shot an over par.
Yeah.
His highest round's even par at the Masters. One round, even par, all the rest under.
And I don't care what golf course you're playing. That's an incredible stat, you know.
Yeah.
And much less a PGA Tour course. But, no, I'm...
It's interesting what you brought up, you know. Hilton Head, obviously, is in the south, and it's got Bermuda greens. So we'll have to see. They go to Valhalla next month for the PGA Championship. And, of course, that's bent grass greens. And we'll just have to see, you know. I mean, if he... how he performs on different grasses,
yeah,
and might be something to look at.
And look, honestly, when you break down all the great players' careers, Nicklaus might be the exception. But even Tiger Woods, when you look at all his victories and his majors, and, you know, a lot of them happen at the same golf courses, you know, a lot of his victories that he had over the years. So, yes, part of it's familiarity with the golf course, but a lot of it, that's a lot of the reason why Tiger skipped Pebble Beach a lot of years. Although he set the record with the Open, but he didn't like the greens over there, the Poano, whatever it is,
yeah.
You know, early in the season at least, you know, so he wouldn't play on those.
They're particular about the greens, especially. You know, I mean, I think they can adjust to like fairway shots off of different type of grasses, but. The greens, that's a different animal altogether. So
yeah, and
you bring up a great point there, and we're going to have to look and see. Valhalla's the next one, and then Pinehurst. I think Pinehurst is like kind of on the cusp of
right on that
the
Dixie border.
Yeah, Mason-Dixon line.
The Mason-Dixon line, yeah.
So I don't know what Pinehurst number two. Even though I play that course, I don't know what kind of grass it will have. And of course, you know, if it's that's North Carolina, but. We'll see. That Valhalla, for sure, I know up in Kentucky is bent grass greens, and we'll just see what happens, you know. I mean, hopefully we'll have a baby by then, be rested, and even though he doesn't need rest, right, it seems like he can run on anything.
He does seem like he's invincible with that, and that's the other thing that's so incredible, because when you look at him, he has the face of a 40-year-old to me, you know. He just, I guess it's maybe the full beard, I don't know, you know. What it is, but he doesn't look like he's only 27, 28?
27, yeah.
So he's a lot younger than he looks, you know, and so he should have a lot of energy, you know, honestly, you know.
Yeah.
Now, those, you know, being up at
and
night
he,
with
he hadn't had that beard the whole time either, did
no,
he?
No, just recent, like the last 2 years, because I saw pictures of him, you know, just a couple of years ago, and he did not have that at all, and he actually had more of a baby face then, and something about the beard makes him look a little older than
no question.
You
it's
know.
Dark and yeah, yeah. And looks like
that'll change over time.
Yeah, yeah. That baby comes along, it's going to change his life altogether.
It's going to start graying right away. No, you know, we said that about Tiger, and because we had that discussion. I distinctly remember we're back at the old studios at the corner of Main and French.
Uh-huh.
Way back when, and we're like, you know, that's what's going to get Tiger when he has that baby, that first baby, you know, and his life's going to change. Let me tell you what, it didn't change a bit, because he did not prioritize those kids until after his, you know, his fall from grace, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
That's when the kids became important in his life, but he was able to put that aside real quick and get back to golf. I don't think Scotty's that kind of guy, though.
No, I really
don't.
So Tiger is a different animal, and that's literally and figuratively speaking. He's one of a kind, and he still is, but he's softened a lot and, you know, reset his priorities for sure. And, you know, I mean, better late than never, in my opinion. But
absolutely.
You know, when he was playing golf, he was focused on golf, and he had that ability to just block everything out and, you know, succeed at the task at hand. And he was the best at that, probably. I don't know. You know, you compare Hogan and Nicklaus and all of that, but I don't know. If he would have stayed healthy and wouldn't have done what he did,
yeah,
I think he would have surpassed old Jack's record. But
yeah, I hate to compare
it, 2020.
Eras, because I mean everything's so different. You know, it's hard to. I mean, golf courses are conditioned better these days.
That's right.
You know, and I hate to say it, but in all fairness, you have to say that the PGA Tour, although the young players coming up are very exciting to see. You know, the Abergs, the you know, guys like that, the Wyndham Clarks, you know, mm-hmm. who had a good showing, the Thigala, who was a contemporary of Scottie Scheffler and junior golf, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little watered down, a little bit watered down, because some of the big names that have defected to the LIV Tour, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of look at the competition. It's kind of like what, that's why Byron Nelson always has the
yeah.
asterisk, you know, next to his 11, mm-hmm. was 11 victories?
11
in a row.
In a row.
You know, because everybody was is in the war, you know.
Right.
They were off at bat. He was beating nobodies, you know.
No question.
You know, so you have to look at the competition, too. So, but, I mean, it's fun to watch, and it's disappointing. And I hope it's not a trend, you know, when you look at the ratings from the Masters on TV ratings.
That was disappointing.
Yeah, I know. I hope it's doesn't become that, you know, because I think we're seeing some of the best golf we've seen in a long time, you know, even though you'd like to see it. The only thing he doesn't have is arch rival, you know, because
mm-hmm.
even Tiger had, you know, he didn't really have one, but I mean, you kind of like Tiger Phil, you know, those things, you know,
mm-hmm.
and Jack had Tom Watson and
Gary Player,
Tom Weisskopf,
yeah.
you know, and Scotty really hasn't had that emerge yet, you know. Now, you know, Wyndham Clark talks big, and he he's got a major already, and he kind of has that cocky attitude, so maybe he can be that guy, you know. Maybe it's Ludwig Iberg, you know. But that would be fun to see a rivalry develop, you know, and we wish
yeah.
wish it would be Rory, but I don't know about Rory.
I don't know. Rory's we're going to watch him in New Orleans this coming week, but I think he's burnt out. He tried to revamp his schedule by playing a lot, and I don't know. He's he's on a terrible trend, I think.
Trajectory, yeah.
But talking about records and all, let's talk about the LPGA. They have a gal on that tour that's setting records, kind of like Scotty's doing on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, Nelly Korda, you know, cemented one of the great runs in LPGA history after a final round 69 at the Chevron Championship. She continued the tradition of jumping into the pond next to Carlson Woods' 18th green. Two-stroke victory over Maja Stark makes her one of three in LPGA history to win five straight starts, joining Hall of Famers Nancy Lopez in 1978 and Annika Sorenstam, who did it, you know, the end of one season and beginning of the next in 2004 and 2005. And I'm going to tell you what, when you talk about ladies golf, those two names, Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam,
mm-hmm.
doesn't get any bigger than that, buddy, you know.
No.
But it is kind of amazing because, you know, I was reading some you know, stuff on the internet, and the thing was like, why is she, this night getting more play? Why isn't it getting talked about more? You know, because it's an incredible feat, you know, and it is a good question, you know. She seems to just still be under the radar, even though she's clearly, you know, this elite player.
Yeah, and she's on such a run, and it's kind of peculiar or out of sorts. It wasn't predicted because in 2021 she had four wins, and everybody thought, you know, she was going to be a constant contender. But then in 22 and 23, she had no wins and kind of went off, like you said, the radar. And now five in a row, it's like it's come out of nowhere. I think it's beginning to gain ground, though, you know, because I read one little piece where the crowds were gathering and getting bigger and bigger each day as she played, you know, throughout the course of this tournament in the Woodlands, Texas. So, you know, I mean, LPGA play is those gals can play. And she's 25 years old. Just a little bit younger than Scottie Scheffler, so, you know, maybe we'll see golf get, you know, some more ratings. And because, like I said, the disappointment from Augusta was, and I don't know how accurate that really is. It's hard to predict, or, you know, I don't know how they do it, but it's like, I don't know. The Masters is always one of the top watched, you know, sporting events in all of sports. So I don't know.
Yeah, I always, you know, looked at ratings with a grain of salt because I'm 64 now, and never once have I ever been had a Nielsen survey sent to me, I don't know who gets them, but you know, it's kind of like when I was back in the day when doing the radio every day, and when we had the Arbitron surveys, and again, you know, it's like you know, who's really getting these books to keep log, and how accurate are they, you know? Now, today, with technology, I mean, they basically probably know your TV set and how many times you've, you know, flipped the channel and what channels you're going to. So
true.
It's probably different.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just kind of, I think, really, you know, again, we, you know, Scotty's he's a nice guy. He probably doesn't move the needle for most, you know, most people. And maybe if it had been a little more competitive on that final day, you know, possibly, or you'd have had a couple of the bigger names, you know, kind of lurking in contention, but didn't really kind of happen that way. So, but, you know, with Korda, you know, the thing that's puzzling is for years we kept saying, man, the Asians are dominating the LPGA Tour. Wish we'd see an American. We kind of thought it might be Lexi Thompson, maybe a Morgan Pressel, you know, some of those ladies, and they had some success, but nothing like this, you know. And so it should be getting, to me, again, more play. And, boy, I tell you what, if somebody wanted to make a really good made-for-TV thing with the, you know, keep having these stupid matches where they have these celebrities, the, you know, Tom Brady and a, you know, whatever, and it you know, put Nelly against Scottie Scheffler. Let her play from the ladies' tees. Let him play from the, you know, men's tees and play head up. And, you know, I think
that would be pretty interesting.
Fun,
yeah.
You
know? She's the first ranked number one player to win a major, being ranked number one since Lydia Ko did it in 2016. And here's an interesting stat since you brought up Scottie Scheffler and Nelly Korda. On the par fives, they both dominating. Nelly is 4.33 on the par fives. Scotty's 4.35 on the par fives. So that's pretty good stats there on the par fives. They're dominating. And another thing about Scotty, I read a little article where he uses Titleist golf balls with high numbers, 6 and 7s.
That's unusual.
Justin Thomas said, "I never use a 4, and I certainly never use anything more than a 4."
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah, how weird. And that, you know, golfers really are the most superstitious players.
I think you're right,
of any sport. I mean, well, baseball might be a little, you know, they're like that too. But, you know, pretty incredible, man. Yeah. And then Teddy, I mean, how about on the Korn Ferry Tour?
Oh, that's great
with
news.
Miles Russell, 15 years old. And not only did he compete, you know, at the Butterfield Bermuda Championship, but he finished, was it fifth?
Tied for 20th.
Oh, tied for 20th.
Yeah.
Okay, but top 25.
First player, he gets in,
yeah.
Youngest player ever to finish in the top 25 in a PGA-sanctioned event. That's impressive.
And that
includes Tiger Woods and all the rest of them.
That's since 83 when they started keeping that stat, right?
So by finishing
inside the top 25, he's earned a spot in next week's Veritex Bank Championship. Although he's not receiving any points for this because he's not 18 years old as far as getting his tour card. But, Brown's a 66, 68, 70, and 66. I mean, I don't know how you do, you know.
That's 14 under par, any way you slice it.
But, I mean, look, you know, it's not like he was a nobody, you know. AJGA Rolex Junior Player of the Year.
He won the PGA Junior Championship by 7 shots. That's a national tournament. He won the Junior Players Championship. And look, listen to this if you don't think it's getting into the golf world as well. He signed an NIL with Transcend Capital Advisors.
Oh, my goodness.
15 years old. You know, I mean,
that's an investment company.
Yeah.
I don't want investment advice from a 15-year-old, you know.
Oh, they know he's going to get old.
No, I know.
give them
But the thing is, will he really ever play college golf? You know, he'll probably get that what's that PGA? The one
tour,
year, you know. Yeah. Yeah, where they play 1 year and then earn that.
I saw where Gordon Sargent, the senior at Vanderbilt, he decided to stay and play out his fifth year, or his senior year at Vanderbilt.
The speculation is because Liv is coming after him big time.
Well,
you know.
We'll see where all that happens. But
I know.
For right now, the PGA Tour is riding a high with Scotty Scheffler and LPGA as well.
But this kid will get, now at this point now, he'll get exemptions into whatever, you know, into PGA Tour events too, you know.
Oh, no
not
question.
Just Korn Ferry Tour. I mean,
All right. Well, let's wrap it up. And go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, for people who want to go watch some live golf, the Zurich Classic starting up this Thursday, you know, right there at TPC, you know, and it's not technically New Orleans, but
Avondale,
yeah. So go check it out.
And then coming up next, the CHS Coaches Show with Coach Desimo, along with the voice of the Panthers, Tony Landry. Stay tuned for that.
Hey, guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
GolfBalls.com carries the latest selection of golf balls, clubs, and gear from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, and Callaway. Get custom fit in our state-of-the-art golf simulator or shop our selection of high-quality apparel from Vineyard Vines, Southern Tide, and Bad Birdie. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
You're listening to KANE 1240 AM and K298CQ 107.5 FM, New Iberia.
The voice of the Tash.